out front there are some new magazines, New Israel My Glory, and very good articles in there. This time, really, every book has some good things along the Jewish lines, talking about Israel. And this coming June will be the 50th anniversary of Israel recapturing Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. And that's been a number of years go by since then, and has been a struggle ever since then. I noticed there's an article, if I can see, find it real quick. There's an article in here, part of it says, it's not in Ishmael's nature to dwell peacefully with Isaac, and how true that is. And they have always had struggle, and they will always will continue to have struggles in that land. But we know the Lord one day will take care of all that, and Israel and the Jew is still God's people. They may be away from him, and he will bring them to his self during the what we call the tribulation. And so a lot of things still on the horizon for the nation of Israel, and all of it for their good, even though they have to go through these many, many struggles. So take that, read it, and enjoy the things there. That's very, very, take that and enjoy that. All right, tonight, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke, chapter number 10. We begin reading in verse number 25. This is a question that a lawyer asked the Lord. And the Lord gives him an answer that he certainly was not expecting from his question. And we have the story of what we call the Good Samaritan. And this is a parable that the Lord uses, or illustration that he uses to tell us that we are certainly to be concerned with everyone around us. All right, in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25, we'll begin reading and read down through verse 37. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So there's a question that brings forth the parable of the Good Samaritan. He answers the question right concerning what he asked about how he is to obtain, how to live and serve. And then he says, who is my neighbor? And the Lord gives him these next few verses, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Verse 30, And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. These words tonight are a story that we can certainly have many illustrations Many types are given in this particular passage. And our Savior here is giving this in order for this man to understand really who he is supposed to be concerned with and who he's supposed to help. In verse 29, we see this lawyer that wants to make himself feel good about himself, and the Lord sort of took the winds out of his sail when he gave him these verses. I guess this parable, this passage, could be summed up as Jude, verse number 22 tells us, some having compassion, making a difference. And certainly this Samaritan had compassion on this man that fell among the thieves. And by illustration, probably this man was a Jewish man as far as their thinking was concerned. And he had compassion on him. Of course, we know that the Jew and the Samaritan, they were not friendly toward each other. They were really sworn enemies. They despised each other to the very point that the Jew would walk around the Samaritan land rather than to walk through it and get the Samaritan dust on their feet. And if they did that, then they would stop on the other side and they'd shake the dust off so that it would not be contaminating unto them. So there's great controversy and hatred among these two groups of people. The Samaritans, they were half Jew and half Gentile, and they were looked down upon by the Jew as not being full-blooded, and they were looked upon as nothing more than dogs and literally were hated. And there's probably no greater racial hatred between two nations than these two groups of people. And this parable, as I said a while ago, is full of many, many different types. A type is a biblical picture of an item or truth in Scripture that helps us to understand and to see a deeper meaning or a deeper message than what is on the page. And as we look at this, we'll see this Good Samaritan and all the things that take place. These are very, very much types of other things that takes place. In these verses, we find here there was a man that was left half dead. He is a type of the sinner. He's a type of a person that is without God. You and I, before we were saved, we were half dead. We were dead spiritually, but we were alive physically. And the life that we had was not good at all. And this is a perfect picture of a sinner that has not been born again by the Spirit of God, who has to be made alive and be quickened by the Holy Spirit. In verse number 31, it says, "By chance there came down a certain priest that way." And so the priest here is a type of an individual that represents religion. He was of the priestly order, and certainly he was a Jew. And this priest came by him, and it just simply tells us that when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Religion cannot do anything for a person that's half dead. Religion cannot bring life. Religion cannot give life. That only is reserved for the Savior. And here we find this man. He looks upon him. Maybe he has in his heart a desire to help him, but realizes he can't help him. And so the Scripture says he passes by on the other side, leaving that man to continue to die. In verse number 32, we have a Levite that comes by. And of course, the Levite tribe was the tribe of the law. It was the tribe that took care of the law of God. And law, we know from New Testament works and words all through it, that by the law we have no justification at all. The law is that instrument that the Lord uses. It's called a schoolmaster in the book of Hebrews that the Lord uses for us to realize that we must have something different than just thou shalt and thou shalt not. It takes more than just being a good person. It takes more than following the strict requirements even of the Old Testament. It took more than the strict requirements that were put upon the Jews by the Pharisees, and the law has never, will never save anyone. I've heard people say that in the Old Testament, people got right with God because they kept the law. And they say that the Old Testament saints, they go to heaven because they were under the law and they followed the principles of the commandments of God. But the Old Testament saint is saved and goes to heaven the same way a New Testament saint is, and that's by faith. It's a belief or a trust in that which we possibly and probably cannot even understand. The law does not give life. The law cannot give life. It does not save anyone. And all the folks before the cross of Calvary were justified because they believed not the law, but they believed what the law said would come, that there would be one, a deliverer that would come unto them. And so here you have the law, you have the prophets, you have the religion, you have all those things working together. Then here comes the most unlikely individual. He's a Samaritan. He's not Jew nor Gentile. He's of a mixed race. And he comes and looks upon him with a little different attitude than these others that have seen him. The Levite, the first one that came by representing religion, he just passed by. The Levite, at least he went over and looked at him, realizing though he could not do anything, he goes by and passes on the other side. And the scripture says that this Samaritan, as he journeyed, I think the word journeyed is very important because he had a particular place, had a particular way of life, and as he journeyed down his life, he came to this man, and he realized that he was in dire condition. He realized that he was in a problem, and so this Good Samaritan is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't offer him religion. He didn't offer him the works of the law, but he poured on him the oil, which is always representative of the Holy Spirit. And so the Samaritan came representing, illustrating the compassion that Jesus had upon those that were lost. The Bible talks many times about the Lord having compassion and that he was moved with compassion when he saw that particular group doing what they were doing. He would see individuals, he'd see a group, and he would have compassion on them. He would have compassion on a city when he looked upon it and said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would gather you as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not." And the scripture says he had compassion on them. So this Samaritan, he had compassion upon this man that was wounded. And the Bible tells us in verse number 34 that he bound up his wounds. He puts the ointment, he puts the oil, the wine. He sets him on his own beast, and he brings him to an inn. The inn also is a representation, I believe, in the New Testament of the place where the child of God goes to get nourishment and to get healing and to get the fellowship of God's people, which is none other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's an innkeeper, and that would be the one that would be the pastor of a particular church. And so it's full of typology, and we have the full story. And so when he brings him to him, he brought on his own beast, he brought him to the inn, and he took care of him. He spent the night with him, and the next day he pays the owner of the inn 2 pence. And he says, "If that's not enough, when I come again, I will repay thee." Now, pence was a payment for things that was to be done and had been done. And so he gives him 2 pieces of money or 2 pence, and he says, "I will come again. When I do come, if you've spent more than this, I'll repay you." And of course, that is a representation or a type of the Lord coming again and rewarding us for those things that we do in our life for him. And so now the Lord says, which of these really was his neighbor? Which one of these really was the man's neighbor that fell among the thieves? And he showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus, go and do thou likewise. And so this lawyer is told, you ask who the neighbor was. Here he is, a Samaritan that you probably wouldn't have anything to do with. He's the neighbor. And he said he had mercy on the man that was left for dead. And he used his goods, his way, to bring about deliverance to this individual that had fell among the thieves. So I want us to look just real quickly tonight, some things about this Good Samaritan. Thank the Lord for Good Samaritans, for people that will do things for other folks and will be used of God and be used of the Lord in order to be a blessing to other people. And we get the phrase, a Good Samaritan. There's an organization called Samaritan's Purse, and it's there to help people. And, of course, we hear about the Good Samaritan continually. But I want you to notice, first of all, what this Good Samaritan saw. Now, he saw the same thing. He saw the same man. He saw the same wounds. He saw the same hurt as the priest and the Levite. He didn't change the man that was left for dead. He didn't change by the time that the Samaritan got to him. But he looked upon him in a different manner. The priest came by and he could do nothing. He saw the wounds, he saw the bruising, he probably saw the blood that was flowing, and he just passes by on the other side, unconcerned, not caring, not able to accomplish anything. The Levite comes by, and he is, of course, that religious man that has all the words of the law, and the priest was a religious man that had all the actions of the law. And now this priest comes and he goes over to him. There's a little difference in each of these. The priest doesn't say he just sees him and he passes by, unconcerned, uncaring. The Levite comes and the Bible says he goes over and looks at him. He sees the wounds, he sees the bruises, he sees the blood that's flowing, and he passes by on the other side. But here's the Samaritan that comes. He's neither Jew nor Gentile, and he doesn't really care who is there that is suffering. And he comes by, and he sees that man, and he sees the bruising, he sees the hurts, he sees the blood. But his actions are so much different than those other two. Because when he looked upon this man that was left for dead, this wounded man, when he looked upon him, he saw a man in dire need. He saw an individual that had a need that had to be taken care of, or he was going to die. He was not going to survive. He was not going to make it. He saw his pain. He saw his problems. He saw that he was wounded. And this Samaritan realized that this man didn't need help tomorrow. He needed something right now. And he looked upon him and he had compassion on him. He looked upon his need of something that had to be done, and he maybe felt as though he couldn't do a whole lot, but he could do something. And it was more than the priest and the Levite did. And so he goes to him, he sees him there, laying on the side of the road, literally dying. He was left there to die by the thieves. And by the way, those thieves are none other than the workers of iniquity. That's the type of the world that comes and destroys and tears down the life and leaves us alone, leaves us for dead. And so he sees the dire need that this man had as he had traveled and been overtaken by the thieves. Not only that, he saw he was defenseless. He saw that he could not take care of himself. He saw that he was not able to do anything for himself. And if he was left to himself, he was going to die. This man was ready for somebody to help him. This man was needing someone to take care of him. And he wasn't even upset that he was a Samaritan. If he was a Jew, he would have normally not had any dealings with the Samaritan. But I tell you what, when you get on your last leg and things are about done, you don't care who's there to help you as long as somebody can take care of you. And so this man was willing to bow down. even though he was not of the same nationality, even though he was hated and had hated and been hated, he was willing to give of himself. He was willing to see the man in his dire need, his defenseless need, and he was willing to help. And that man that was dying, he was ready to receive it. You see, a lot of people have to get on their last go around before they're ever ready to receive help. Thank God from our Samaritan. They have to go through all the troubles and the struggles of life. And they get down as far as they can go, and then they call upon the Lord. And so this man was as far down as he could go. He was left for dead. As far as those robbers were concerned, he was dead. He had no ability to take care of himself. But there came along, thank God, a good Samaritan. You and I, in our spiritual life, one day we were half dead. One day we were left alone. One day we were taken and sometimes even destroyed by the robbers and by the thieves that come along and rob our joy and rob our peace and literally rob our life. But thank the Lord for the Samaritan that came and saw him exactly the condition he was in. He didn't tell him to clean himself up. He didn't tell him to help himself. He didn't do any of those because he knew he could not do that. And so the good Samaritan saw this man on the side of the road just like he was. He saw him as one that if there was no help, he would not survive. He would die and he would go off into eternity. So that's what the good Samaritan saw. He saw the same person, but his heart made a difference in his actions. And always our heart makes a difference in the actions that we have. Number two, the good Samaritan showed some things. Verse number 33. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He showed, there's the word, compassion. As he journeyed, as he was on his trip, he had compassion. Jude 22, as I mentioned a moment ago, the verse there says, and of some have compassion. And then those last three words says, making a difference. How many times compassion makes a difference in the life of an individual? A life that has great need, a person that is left for dead. Those that are in dire need and defenseless, they're not concerned on how much a person has. They're not concerned on how much you know. They're not really concerned on how much you care. You just have to show that to them and show them the need that is there. They want to know how much until they know, first of all, that we care. The word compassion is a word that's used many times in the Scripture, not only of the Lord, but of other folks. And compassion is our feeling in our heart and our life, what other people are going through, and showing a compassionate soul for them. He showed compassion on his condition. He saw him as wounded. He saw him as dying. For whatever reason, this Samaritan showed compassion to the Jew. Maybe he had been there the same. Maybe he'd had the same thing happen to him. It doesn't give us any details. A parable is just a story that illustrates a truth. And this is something that he showed compassion on his condition. He showed compassion on him even though he lacked cleanliness. Even though he was covered with the dust of the ground and probably the matted up blood that had come from him, he saw him as he was. He saw him in the need that he had, and he still cared for him. Compassion and care are so very closely related. If this was a story of this day, of our day, he probably would have not touched him with having gloves on because of the transmission of disease through the touching of blood. But he didn't concern himself with that. He had compassion on him. He turned himself to him, and he made a difference in his life. This shows there's no help in a self-reformation This man couldn't do it himself, had to have somebody, and thank God for the Samaritan. We had to have someone, thank God for our Samaritan. You can read the Bible from cover to cover 5 times a year. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You can keep all the commandments that you can and do as good as you can, live the best way you can, but you still die without God and go to devil's hell. We have to have the interaction between the Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of us that are in that fallen state. So he didn't concern himself with this man's physical need at first. He concerned himself, I've got to get him to a place of help. Shows his compassion. I'm sure this man, as they traveled by, maybe the priest heard the man say, I need help. Maybe the Levite heard the same words. And maybe the Samaritan heard the cry, rescue me, help me, I'm in trouble. And so this picture's a man that's, he's just about gone his last mile. He is just about dead. And here comes the man, unnamed. He's just a half-breed. He's just half Jew, half Gentile. He doesn't have any relationship with him other than he cared about his condition. Psalm number 142, verse 4. The psalmist says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I'm afraid that's a line or a verse that could be given to so many people tonight, because no one really, really cares. This Samaritan looked upon him, saw his need, saw how serious it was, and so he gave himself, gave his life. He showed compassion upon this man that was dying. And then thirdly, this good Samaritan sacrificed some things for him. Verse number 34, verse number 35. And went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. This good Samaritan sacrificed some things. He sacrificed his time. He gave his time to help this man that was dying. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He certainly redeemed and sacrificed his time. The motto today is time is money and money is time. And so he sacrificed himself, his time, and his personal life in order to help this man that was dying without any help at all. He sacrificed his treasure. He gave him, he took care of him, he gave the host or the innkeeper 2 pence, and he said, I'll repay you. So he gave his, he sacrificed his time, he sacrificed his treasure. He gave to help someone he did not even know. I don't know of a better mission message than that. To give to someone you do not even know and probably will never meet until we meet in heaven because of what the gospel does to those that hear it through our missionaries. There's an old song in the Broadman hymnal. This is a 1940 edition, so it's been around a long time. It's the original Broadman. There's a song in it that's just simply, and it may be in some other books, is just simply entitled Others, and how this describes so much this Samaritan. I want to just read the verses to you. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. And how true that is tonight in this story of the Good Samaritan. He certainly did what he had to do, what he needed to do in order to make a difference in this life of this man that was dead. The Good Samaritan came to where he was. Jesus Christ came to where we were. The Good Samaritan had compassion on him. His heart was moved. And as the Lord moves toward us, he gives us salvation. The Good Samaritan bound up the man's wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And that's exactly how the Lord heals us spiritually. The Good Samaritan set this man on his own beast. Those whom the Lord lifts up are also set in his place. The Good Samaritan brought him to an inn, as the Lord brings us to a place of shelter and friendship. The Good Samaritan took care of him. He didn't just drop him off. He took care of him that night. And as the Lord takes care of us. And lastly, the Good Samaritan left a promise concerning him. When I come again, I will repay thee. Thank God this afternoon, tonight, that we have a Good Samaritan. He saw us where we were. He had compassion on us. And he put us on his own beast. We're on him now. And now he gives us blessing after blessing. And may God help us to do the same thing for others. Let's stand together tonight, and may God help us to do the same thing for others. Let's stand together tonight, and